Welcome to Scaling the Gap, the podcast for leaders who refuse to settle. I'm Madeline McRae, CEO and co-founder of ProQ. Here, we cut through the noise to tackle the real challenges of scaling your business while staying true to your purpose. Every episode brings candid conversations, proven strategies, and the kind of insights that don't just inform, they ignite action. If you're ready to stop talking about impact and start making it, you're in the right place. Let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We are so excited today because I have a fellow Michigander in the house with me. He has a fantastic business he's going to share with you. He has an awesome backstory, and I just cannot wait for you to get to meet him. So, Craig Ciccarelli. Did I get it right?
Ciccarelli, yeah.
We've been trying. I practiced three times. We're getting close. Welcome to the show. So delighted to have you.
Thank you.
So why don't you share a little bit with our audience about who you are and the work you do out in this world?
Well, our company does basement waterproofing and foundation repair. And I started the original company about 30 years ago, but we started as a home inspection franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So I was 29. I didn't want to work for anybody else, and it's a long story, but I ended up with this home inspection franchise.
All right.
And I had to sell my house to get the money, and I lived in a mobile home, and I moved the mobile home over to a territory that was open for the franchise, and it was kind of weird. I was inspecting houses, but I didn't actually own one. And my address was a suite number instead of the lot number to the mobile home park.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I started, and it gave me a really good background in construction.
Yeah,
I had a builder's license, and I saw a huge opportunity in basement waterproofing and foundation repair. I used to keep contractors' names for my clients that I had done home inspections for. I was sort of Angie's List before Angie's List, and I could not come up. I came up with like maybe one good basement waterproofing company, but it was a father and his son.
Okay.
And they were booked out a year and a half, and they charged twice as much as everybody else.
Wow.
People would wait for this person.
Wow.
But most people just said, I need it done before that.
Sure.
So I just saw a big opportunity, and I saw a lot of really bad actors in the marketplace for whatever reason. Basement waterproofing is notorious for bad actors.
Sure. I don't know what it has to do with the basements of homes, but there was one business probably, must be like 8 or 9 years ago that came to one of my courses. I was teaching sales at the time, and he came to a sales course, and he was the only person I've ever, or he came to me to see if he'd get into my sales course. And he's the only person I ever refused to sell to, because his business model was, let's prey on little old people, have them mortgage their home. The government's going to take it when they die, but we're going to refinish their basement. And I was like, what the heck? Like, I actually wouldn't accept him into my class. So it has to do something with basements. I'm glad you're bringing the level up with the basement, the quality of basement of contractors, because it's really important, right, that people have someone that they can trust in their home, right?
Yeah, it's a big purchase.
Yeah.
A really big purchase.
For sure.
It's hard to tell what you're getting and if you're getting the right thing and the right advice.
Right.
You're trusting these people. It's not like a roof that somebody comes out and inspects and you get to see what it looks like and you know that it's working because it doesn't leak or blow off. Waterproofing is different. You know, you don't know that it works until a big rain.
And that's,
two years down the line after you've paid.
Yeah. So, ruin everything that you have down there.
Yeah. Right. And then that company is long gone.
That's right. That's right.
So is their warranty.
And so is their warranty. Well, you can't honor a warranty if you're no longer in business. So that's
it. But they go back into business with a slightly different variation of their name.
Mm.
You know, like Dry Person LLC, Dry Person Inc., Dry Person of MIs. They're all variations, but they're all new companies.
Yeah.
I used to follow these companies through the corporate listing. They change names every couple of years.
Huh. Well, that's a sneaky practice, and I'm glad that you don't have any of those. Don't need it, right?
Right.
Build a great business, and you don't need to shut down and restart under a new name, right?
Yeah.
So We were chatting in the green room about something really fascinating. And this, I think this comes to the heart of what we're talking here about people being dishonest in the field that you chose, was that you've been pondering for a long time since you were a young man about whether or not you can be honest and successful at the same time. Like, can you build a great business without being shady? And, you know, you've done this, building of a great business in an environment where people get away with a lot of, we'll call it underhanded business practices. So tell me about that journey and that pondering that you've been mulling over for so long.
Well, I was always hesitant about going into business. I felt like, if I can't compete with other people that are willing to lie, cheat, and steal,
right,
that puts me at a disadvantage. Because, sure, you know, the positive people will say, you know, the good will win out in the end.
Sure.
But when you're doing things like, let's say, basement waterproofing, you're probably only selling to that customer one time because it's a lifetime warranty. They don't have any need to buy from you again unless they buy another house, which isn't really immediate.
Right.
But I saw so many successful people and companies that were dishonest and they were successful. And it kind of hurt my motivation about going into business, but I did it anyways. But I got into home inspection where honesty really pays because you can get sued big time if you're not
Straight
up about the condition of a house. And not only get sued, but insurance companies won't insure you. We had to have insurance for that.
Right.
So I think that was an okay fit for me. You know, I got a business started and honesty paid, and repeat customers were often referrals from realtors and things like that. So it worked out for me that way.
Yeah, I love that. There is that whole lie, cheating, and stealing is a short-term success strategy, right? It's never going to yield to the long, enduring success because you'll reputational damage yourself along the way. It always comes out. Right? It comes out somewhere, sometime. But you're right. There are so many examples, especially in the trades and home improvement space, where people have done underhanded, shady business practices and gotten away with it for a really, really long time. And I like that you found a course of action that allowed you to stay true to your heart of integrity and also to prove that you could build a good business without having to be dishonest, right? It's not a prerequisite. And actually, it's going to harm you longer in the end. So tell me a little bit about the journey after you were transitioned from home inspection to waterproofing. What happened next?
So I had both businesses going at the same time.
Okay.
And the home inspection was really paying the bills, and the waterproofing was just something I was building on. It slowly built up, and I hired a couple of guys, and then I hired a college friend of mine. That was a big hire.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, you got to run the business because I got to go pay the bills by doing these home inspections.
Yep.
So it got to a point where the basement waterproofing thing was really growing. And I had to make a decision if I was going to stop doing home inspections. It was scary. That year was a scary year because it's like turning the spigot off to the money.
Yeah.
And, but I had to do it to grow.
Yeah.
And now I, you know, looking back, it was like, I wish I'd have done that sooner. But I always took the safe course. I never wanted to, I'm not a super high risk person when it comes to business matters.
Sure. I mean, there's some level of risk inherent in running a business, right? Leaving your revenue driving business behind and going towards your growth business, even though it's going well, but it's not the same. That's still a risky move. And it's easy to look in hindsight and be like, oh yeah, shoulda, woulda, coulda done that sooner. But when you're living it, that's a pretty big leap to take anyways. So
yeah,
it takes courage, a lot of courage and a lot of self-belief too.
Oh, and a lot of nights I couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
I'd go on vacation. I couldn't turn my brain off. I was constantly checking texts and emails. Like, I paid for every bit of that, you know, transition.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Always. So I always like to look to some of the places in business. You know, of course, there's the journey itself and who you get to become along the way. So what have been some of the really unexpected joys of the journey of building a really solid business, creating this reputation? What has been some of those unexpected joys?
I'd say there's more unexpected setbacks and sorrows than I realized. So
There, like, we can talk about the sorrows first if we want to go there. Sure, we can.
Yeah, the joys are harder for me to come by. I don't place value in myself through the business.
Mm.
So I know a lot of people do. You know, they got the snazziest looking offices, the coolest looking trucks. And
sure,
I'm the guy that goes to the auction and buys the trucks. I'm the guy that buys the old commercial building and doesn't really fix it up all the way. It's just functional.
Sure.
It's just who we are. So I never gained that, but I'm glad that I didn't. I don't want my personal who I am to be inherent in the business. Because I see a lot of these people that I've known for a while and they get out of business or they sell their business or whatever, and they have no identity left when they retire or when they step out of business. They feel like they become of nothing.
Yeah.
And I don't think the business defines who I am. I don't know if that answered your question, but so I try not to place too much value in the business. It, to me, it's a source of income revenue.
Yeah.
It's me not working for somebody else.
Yes.
This is my own issues and problem that I can't work for somebody else. But there's not working for somebody else also means I got a lot of stress and a lot of worries and a lot of things, a lot of moving parts. It's not for everybody. I tell people that. I'm like, hey, sometimes working for somebody else is the best life you could probably have. Don't think that just because you own a business that your life's going to be better.
Right.
I think a lot of times it's not better.
Mm.
But you go into it thinking the right way, maybe it's a little better.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have to be really intentional about it, right? The business, like you said, is a lot of moving parts. And if you let it, it can absorb your whole identity. It can be everything that you live and breathe and eat and think and everything. And I love that you've made a very clear intention to not get wrapped up in the success of the business as your core of who you are, because then to your point, when you step away from it, when you sell it, when you move it on to the next owner, you're what happens with you, right? Like if you maintain your own integrity and your own sense of self along the way, that's part of the joy of the business. You get to become more of who you want to be. And in your case, keeping the business identity separate from you, that's a really cool move. That's a decision that very few people make. So I really appreciate the distinction on that.
Yeah. When I got married, you know, that changed my outlook, you know, where my priorities are. And when I had kids, that again changed my priority. So my function of the business was to fund the family and get me home in time to play with the kids. It was not to be rich, you know, and sometimes I felt it was a hindrance because I got home thinking about work. I felt like, you know what? I wish I had a job where I could come home and my work was done.
Right.
So I had to intentionally shut off. Like as soon as I walked in, I started playing with the kids. I needed to disengage and they pulled me out of my thinking of the business for the day because three little kids, man, they sucked everything out of you, but they benefited me as much as I may have benefited them.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that you use the playing with the kids as the way to unplug, right? Because that's something that people wait until they unplug in order to, but you're like, no, this is what we got. Let's use what we got. One of the things that I found when I was early in my business was that I also have no turn off button. I don't know how to turn it off. I don't know how to disengage. Or I didn't back then, but I did have a young son. And when I would come home, I wanted to be present for my son. I wanted to be able to be sitting on the floor playing with him. And so I taught him to say to me when I was on my phone, "Mommy, please put down your phone." And he said it to me one night. Within 20 minutes, he said it 3 times. And that was the night that I made the decision that I will never have my child believe that he is less important than my business or that he is less important than my phone or my ability to be in touch with people. But I still didn't have self-control. So what I did is every single day at the end of the workday, I would delete all of my work apps from my phone and then I would drive home so that I could take the drive home to decompress. And then by the time I was home, I was able to be present for my son. And, you know, did it make me take time to take apps on and off of my phone all the time? Yes, but I had to do it for my own good. I had no self-control about the business, right? So that notice that you made earlier that this life is not for everyone, I think it's really important to know that it isn't for everyone. It is a hard path. Building a business, being a business owner has a lot of joys to it, but it's also a hard path, right? And there, like you said earlier, there's so many more unexpected hurdles than what you could imagine when you get going, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I have some misconception that owning my own business would give me more free time possibly. Mm-hmm. And it was exactly the opposite. I don't know where I came up with that misguided idea, but
yeah.
Anyways, I had to grow the business. I kept thinking I created a monster here that's taking over my life.
Right.
And it wasn't until I read E-Myth book about systematizing your business.
Yes.
And building it to sell and building it to grow. I'm like, okay, this is going to get me out of this pickle that I got myself into.
Sure.
And so I did the E-Myth book. I hired a consultant to help me build systems. I went to his seminars. I hired him to do Zoom calls with our whole team. I was obsessed with building systems and trying to implement them into the business, basically to obsolete myself.
Yes.
So that was my goal. I hit that goal probably in like 2016.
Yep.
And that really when the business flourished and I don't have the day-to-day concerns with it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. Obsolete yourself. That's a beautiful way of looking at it. Too many people, again, it comes back to their identity is wrapped up in the business. Their ego is so involved in being the one to make all the decisions and who everyone comes to that they're not willing to obsolete themselves out of their own business. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Some people are, I mean, they're on a power trip.
Sure.
I talk to the employees and I'm like, wow, how do you get anything done? How does he or she function during the day?
Sure.
But I never wanted that. I don't like being the person that when I walk in the door, everybody has to hit me up with a question. Now I can just, if I can just slide into work when I go. Now I don't go that much anymore.
Yeah.
That's the biggest blessing.
Super cool. I love that. And one of the other things that we chatted a little bit about before we got on here was that you had a really interesting early mentor who took you under his wing in a really unexpected way early on in your business journey. And I wanted to circle back to him and to chat through tell us a little bit about who he was and what impact did that mentor, that early mentor who really guided you, make in your trajectory, you think?
So I was the president of a social organization on campus where I was going to college at Eastern Michigan University. And we got in big trouble. And I had to go represent our organization in front of the vice president of student affairs. So I showed up there and probably like 5-10 minutes into the conversation, he didn't want to talk about the problem that we had.
Mm-hmm.
We might get kicked off campus or whatever was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
He focused directly on me.
Mm-hmm.
And he took some odd interest in me and said, why don't you come back next Friday afternoon around 4:00? And he scheduled it off with his secretary. And from there on, we had monthly Friday afternoon meetings where he just mentored me and never told me what to do.
Mm.
He guided me in this like really great way. And I don't know why he picked me or why I got his time, but it made a huge impact on me. I think initially when I met him, he's like, what do you want to do with your life? Some question like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I want to open a used tire store. Because that's all I knew. I worked at a used tire store when I was going to community college and it looked profitable. He didn't say don't do it, but that kicked off the conversation. Later, I got into politics.
Mm.
So after a couple of years, I really got heavily into politics. And I actually ran for city council when I was going to college for the city of Ypsilanti. Anyways, he sat me down and he talked about it. He never told me not to, but he said, let me tell you a story about my brother and me.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, his job was very political at the university. And he told me some really interesting political stuff. It was fascinating. And then he told me the story about his brother, who's a contractor and has this great life and a second home and boats and has fun every weekend. And I think he was trying to, you know, he's like, I only make X amount of dollars. He makes 5-10 times that amount. and he has all this fun and he doesn't have all this responsibility.
Mm.
But I think what he was saying is like, I chose this life. I want to have an impact on university and students and different things. That was his value system.
Sure.
But when politics got kind of weird for me, when I was starting to really get into it, I had some really, really bizarre interactions with some politicians. I just took an 180 degree about face and left politics and thought back to that day the whole time. And I ended up in home improvement, which is contracting.
Yeah.
So he had a huge impact on me. And
That's so cool. I mean, sometimes it's the, when you spot someone as a person who, you know, when you gain a certain place in life, you can spot certain individuals who've got something unique, and he spotted it in you, and he spotted that. And he was willing to give of his most precious asset, which is his time, to mentor you. And I think that that is one of the coolest component parts. There are so many successful entrepreneurs, business owners who had some sort of a mentor in their life. And it's really cool that it came in this, such an interesting path to an outcome that to this day, you're living the reality that of the seed he planted because you got in trouble.
Because he got me out of trouble.
There you go.
I came in like 2-3 meetings later and I said, do we need to talk about that trouble we're in? He's like, no, I took care of it.
You got into trouble. He saw something in you, got you out of trouble, and set you on this incredible trajectory that you've been on for all these years. Yeah. So cool. I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that story. I think it's such an interesting component. Too few people take the time to mentor someone else, right? And what a massive impact it can have on a life to give just a little bit of time, right? Just a little bit of time and some good advice, and not to force your hand, but just to create some openings. The more openings that you're created, the more paths are available. It's really cool.
And I try mentoring people, but they see it as meddling most of the time. So,
you got to find the willing part.
Once in a while, somebody will like take my advice or want more of it. And it brings a lot of value to me. I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
So there's a guy in the same industry, home, basement waterproofing. And I met him at a conference, and he was a startup company, and he was a police officer at the time.
Hmm.
And he was sort of starting this thing up on the side. And he reached out to me and made a friendship and asked basically for mentoring. He's one of my best friends today, and he has a hugely successful company. He left the police department. And in fact, I'll see him next week at a conference where we're going together. So
love it. I love it. Well, that's an awesome. See, it's not that you don't have to mentor everyone because not everyone is available for it. But when you do it well, like what an impact. I love it. You passed it forward. Love it.
Yeah.
Love
it.
Well, this has been such a delightful story. There's so many interesting little component parts. And, you know, for those of you who listen to the show, you know, there's always a question I have to ask at the end of every show. So here we are, Craig, now at your turn to be on the hot seat. So with all the ups and downs and with this, you know, commitment that you made to separate your personal identity from the business identity, I'm really curious, do you consider yourself to be successful?
That's a tough question, and it's a good question. And if I look back on my original goal of working 3 days a week and making $55,000 a year back in 93, okay, so I'm successful with that. But I think I sort of maybe moved the goalpost on what was successful, and I kept moving it and kept moving it. And so I never end up getting there. You know, like sometimes it's some financial revenue amount, it's some number of employees in the company 1 year was my goal. You know, can I get to 100 employees? And we did. And I kept hitting my goals, but then when I got there, I was not satisfied with it.
Mm.
I always had to set another goal. So I don't know if I ever did, but financially it's rewarding, and it's far more rewarding financially than I had ever envisioned. I don't think I ever had a goal in mind for what we are now today. It was just constantly building on things, and I can never be happy with something. If I was a kid and I built something with Legos, as soon as I was done, I tore it apart and I had to build a bigger one or with more features. I'm never satisfied that way. So it's tough. I don't look for my happiness through my business, I guess.
Yeah.
A different way of saying that.
So this is always my favorite question, because every single person has a very unique lens that they look at it through, right? What is it that they're measuring to determine whether or not they met that threshold of what success means? Because success is a very, very elastic idea, right? So you could have someone who is making that 55 grand a year and feel like, yep, I'm successful. I'm doing it, right? And, you know, let's be fair, back when you set the goal, was it a legit, real good goal? But the money so often is the poorest measure of success, right? Because to your point earlier, you can have people who are dishonest. You can have people who are hurting others and making money, right? Bad people who have no satisfaction in their life at all can be wealthy, right? So wealth is not necessarily, and you can also gain wealth without having success, right? You can be given it, right? And that doesn't necessarily make you successful. It makes you wealthy, right? So money is such an interesting barometer, because it's often a lagging indicator, and it's not always, it's one of the poorest measures of success. But when, so for you, I always like to like backwards engineer people's algorithm of what they view as success. Like, what is your own personal little algorithm going to be? And for you, there's something about ability to set and achieve goals, continuous improvement, and also being able to have the space to live a life that you enjoy, right? That's a component part that you talked about, that the business isn't who you are, that you actually have a life outside of the business. So there's certainly something to that in your own personal success algorithm.
Yeah, I'd say I set the bar low and then hit the bar. So I guess I was successful. I just made sure the bar was achievable.
I always tell people that, listen, setting a goal that you know you can achieve, there's no shame in that, especially if you're in a difficult time and it's a time of uncertainty. I do like three different levels of goals. I call it wake up and show up. It means if you show up and you give pretty good effort, you'll probably hit it. And then a true goal, which you got to put a little elbow grease in. And then, you know, those stretch goals that you really have to work, but you could probably do it. So I sometimes just hitting the wake up and show up when you're in a time of turmoil or transition or uncertainty, that's a reasonable thing to do, because it's a psychologically beneficial thing to set and achieve, right? Because then you learn you can achieve, right? You just got to raise up the bar a little bit higher bar.
I turned in some box tops off of a cereal thing and got the Millionaire Next Door CD.
Huh.
And I listened to it on a cruise like 20 years ago.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, you can be a millionaire and be a plumber. That was kind of like the basis of the story, you know?
Yeah.
Not the doctors and all these really millionaires are just regular people.
Yeah.
I use cars and they save money. That's a goal. That's a goal right there.
Yeah.
And then recently, when Trump became president, I was interested in Trump and I listened to his audio book of How to Think Like a Billionaire or something like that. I was like, that's definitely not me. I'm more of the think like a millionaire type person. Thinking like a billionaire is just a totally different level.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy with my life.
Yep. Yep. Well, I mean, that's a core component of success, being satisfied with the life that you have. If you have money without fulfillment, that's success is an empty bag, right? That's no way to live. And I think that it's such an important dynamic to look at what genuinely brings you joy, what genuinely creates that sense of satisfaction in your holistic life, not just at your work, right? Because your business isn't you. And I love that distinction that you've been able to create for yourself. So
yeah,
very cool. Very cool.
If there was any success, I would say it. Keeping the business honest and not cheating people to get to where I'm at and reaching a level of a financial success that I don't have to worry about things. I'm not going to drive a Ferrari, but
yep.
I don't never needed to drive a Ferrari.
Yep. Yep. I love that. There's a continuous achievement, ability to set and achieve goals, worry-free financial life, enjoyment of life, living honestly and treating people honestly. And then there's something about being able to live on your own terms or being able to have the freedom to live the life you want to have. That freedom component.
That's a big plus.
Yeah.
Owning your own business column.
There you go. We talked about some of the negatives, but there certainly are some positives as well. I love it. Well, if you were to give advice to a young up-and-comer trying to say, one day I want to be like Craig, I want to be able to have worry-free financial life, what would be one of the pieces of advice that you would pass along? And then we'll go ahead and wrap things up today.
Well, I would say don't get into basement waterproofing. That is super complicated, more complicated than I thought. Start a business. You know, everybody says you got to be passionate about your business. That's great, but those businesses might be flooded with other people that are passionate about that same type of business. It's the boring stuff. Like when I talk to people and they're wealthy, it's like they do something I never heard of before. They have some niche. They make some little part or component. They learned one thing that the world needs and they did it.
Yeah.
And it's not glamorous. It's just business. And that, I think, would be a really good advice for a young person. Don't do the flashy stuff. That's all you can do. The boring stuff is where it's at.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. And I mean, that goes to your, like, not buying the Ferrari, not going and getting the fanciest trucks for your fleet, going to the auction and getting them. Like, do the simple things. And that's where you can find all the little hidden gems along the way.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today, Craig. Thank you for spending the time to, you know, weave some of those threads about honesty in business and being able to mentor people and what that mentorship meant in your life and the component parts about keeping your identity separate from the business. That is such a sound piece of advice that I think that it bears repeating again and again. I know I keep saying it because it is uncommon for someone to come on this show and give that piece of advice. And it is, if you can listen to that sitting in your car, driving at home, working out, whatever you're doing, and you can take one piece away, is separate your personal identity from your business identity so that you can create something sellable, so you can work on it outside of you, and you too can set incredible goals and reach them. Thank you so much today, Craig. Appreciate having you on the show.
It's been fun. Thank you.
Yeah. If someone wants to find out more about your business, where should they take a look?
They can go to homespec.com.
Okay.
That's where we're at.
All right. So check Craig out at homespec.com. And for those of you looking to get into business, take a good hard look, think if it's for you, and don't underestimate the value of doing the boring stuff. All right. Till next time. Bye for now.
Thanks for tuning in to Scaling the Gap. If today's episode inspired you or sparked an idea, I'd love to hear about it. If you're an ambitious leader with a story to share, visit proqsystems.com, click on Media and Events, then select Podcast to apply to be our guest. We'd love to spotlight your journey. Also, don't forget to follow the show and leave us a review to help bring more transformative insights to leaders just like you. You can also connect with me, Madeline McRae, on LinkedIn for more conversations, access to our exclusive tools and resources. Until next time, keep scaling your impact and building a legacy that matters.